My guest at this time is Burke Balch, the director of the National Right to Life Committee's Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics. He joins me today to talk about a piece of legislation that has just cleared the committee level in the Texas State Legislature that the NRLC says would strip patients of their rights. Specifically, they allege that the bill would force do-not-resuscitate orders, even if patients have specific wishes not to have that course taken. And Burke, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, that's right, and this is I should scare a lot of people, because what this bill, Texas Senate Bill 303, says is that a doctor can impose a do-not-resuscitate order, write it into a patient's chart, even over the patient's objections. And while it's true that the patient could then appeal to an ethics committee, in the meantime, until that appeal is registered, of course, if the person goes into cardiac arrest, then that person will die. And more to the point, you don't even have the right to appeal to the committee if the doctor says, without being checked by anybody else, that in his opinion, your death is imminent. Now, somebody might say, well, boy, in that case, if you're going to die pretty soon, you know, what's the point of being resuscitated? But the problem is that there's no definition of imminent. And there used to be a definition in the law that said, well, your death is considered imminent if you're going to die within minutes to hours. But now we've got some people who say, well, if you're going to die within 6 months or you're going to die within a year, that means your death is imminent. So what this bill is saying essentially is that if the doctor thinks that you're going to maybe die in 6 months, maybe in a year, and doctors aren't always right about that, and they say, well, we think this is imminent, then you don't even have the right to try to go somewhere and ask that this do not resuscitate order be removed. You know, this is part of a whole big piece of legislation that's got a number of scary parts. It basically says that the issue here is who should be able to make the decision. If I'm a patient, if my grandmother, who has isn't able to speak for herself, is a patient, who should make the decision about whether she gets life-saving treatment or whether she lives or dies? And whose values are at stake here? Is it the patient's family who is speaking for the patient? Or is it the values, not the medical judgment, but the values of the doctors or the particular hospital? You know, you go to the doctor and you assume that they're going to be your advocate, but you don't expect them to be sitting in judgment about whether your life is worth living or not. Because part of this bill doesn't even apply to people who are terminally ill. It applies to people who've been diagnosed with, quote, an irreversible non-terminal condition. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means, for example, if you've got a permanent disability. That means if you've got diabetes, all sorts of things that you're not necessarily going to die of, but somebody else thinks, well, that person's quality of life is too poor, we shouldn't let them live. And in fact, what this ethics committee is able to make a decision, not just about resuscitation, but about any other sort of life-saving treatment, even providing food and fluids to you with medical assistance, is that if they say that they think that giving you this treatment would, quote, seriously exacerbate other major medical problems not outweighed by the benefit of the provision of the treatment, then you can be denied this treatment so that you die. Well, what does that mean? What it means is if they think that, let's say, because you've got this disability, because you've got this disease, that they think that your life is not worth living, then they're saying, well, the benefit of saving your life is not sufficient to outweigh the fact that you're going to have this disability, you're going to have this disease. Well, that's a value judgment. That's not a medical judgment. Who should be making that decision? Should it be the patient? Does the patient have the right to make that decision, the patient's family, or some group, some committee in a hospital? And that's two of the very scary things about this law.
We're talking with Burke Balch of the National Right to Life Committee. And, Burke, the lead sponsor of this is a state senator by the name of Bob Duell. We contacted his office, and they declined to make him available for commentary. But some of the literature they sent over said that this legislation would actually extend the amount of time. I don't know if it's to appeal or to basically they're saying this. It's more lenient than the law currently is now in terms of do not resuscitate. What do you know about that?
Well, it's not with regard to do-not-resuscitation, because in that regard, they're putting into statute for the first time this ability to impose on you a DNR order without your consent before you even have a hearing by the committee. What they're referring to is in another part of the legislation, if the ethics committee says, well, we're not going to give you life-saving surgery, or we're not going to give you food and fluids because that are medically assisted, because we think that that's going to seriously exacerbate a medical a problem and it's not outweighed by the benefit of saving your life, then what the law has said is, well, you've got 10 days to try to find some other doctor, some other hospital that's going to provide you treatment. And what they're saying, and it's true, and this part of it is you know, a decent part of the bill, is they're saying, well, we're going to extend that time to 21 days. And that's good. But it's not a sufficient trade-off for this position that's saying we're going to impose these DNR orders against your will. And there's another part of the legislation that's very troubling, because right now, under the existing law in Texas, if they're going to deny you treatment against your will, they have to let you know about a website, give you a printout of a website. It gives you the list of people who are willing to serve as your advocates and your supporters and help you potentially fight against this effort to end your life against your will. And in the past, there have been a number of groups, our affiliate, Texas Right to Life, other attorneys, who've successfully been able to get in there and help people and save their lives against these efforts to cut off treatment against their will. Well, what this bill would do is it would insert in, before you have any right to get that list, it would say we'd have essentially an informal meeting of this ethics committee with the person, and we're going to appoint our own person from the hospital who was going to say is your advocate. And before we even let you know about these other people you can contact, we're going to try and sit down with you and essentially persuade you that you ought to recognize that this is a very bad thing for you to continue to live, or your loved one to continue to live. And they're probably going to be able to say, you know, this is an informal part of an ethics committee hearing, but, you know, quite frankly, we've talked about this, and if you keep insisting on a formal hearing, you know, you're going to lose. Well, unless you have the gumption and the knowledge to say, no, nonetheless, I still want to have this formal hearing, even though you've all sat down with me and told me what you think, and you're the same people going to be on this committee, only if they have the knowledge to do that will they now be able to contact these outside organizations. They've been told that there are going to be people who are able to assist. And they even put into this, they try to scare away any attorneys who might be willing to help people fight for their lives by threatening them with what they call barratry. In other words, they say that, you know, you can't offer your assistance to somebody if you might possibly get any attorney's fees out of it, because, you know, if you do that, then you're committing barratry. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to intimidate the people who've been out there fighting, and in some cases successfully fighting, to save the lives of patients so that they're not even going to be able to be available. And I think this is one of the really troubling parts of this, because it's a way of sort of getting people, the typical person in this situation, who's suddenly told by all these people in white coats, oh, your grandmother is suffering, we really need to cut off her food and fluids. You know, they are not in a position to know all the medical resources they can get, second opinions. They're not in a position to know what the law is. They're not in a position really to stand up against this tremendous onslaught of the experts in the hospital unless they've got some assistance from outside. And this is a way in this bill of trying to make it much less likely they'll get it.
One of the things we heard a lot in the healthcare debate and beyond is that the cost of care at the very end of life is the thing that's really driving up the red ink. Do you think that's the motivation behind this?
Well, there's clearly a motivation to try to bring down costs and weigh lives against costs. I do have to quickly point out that there have been some studies that debunk that claim, because a lot of those studies that say most of the money is wasted on people in the end of life don't look at the fact that you might have the same treatment for somebody just as expensive, but they survive. They only look at people who've died, and they count back and see how much money was spent on them. And if you and I come in with the same life-threatening condition, and you die and I'm alive, or vice versa, then they're not going to count the fact that person, the money was spent on, survived. They're only going to count the fact the money was spent on the person who happened to die. So it's really not good statistics there. But unquestionably, there's an economic incentive to deny treatment.
And finally, this is a Republican legislator who's pushing this bill. It's a pretty Republican state. Is this going to pass?
Well, we're certainly going to try and prevent it from passing, and it's going to depend, I think, to a good deal on your hearers, particularly your hearers in the state of Texas, who, if they want to be able to preserve their right to choose whether or not they can choose life-saving treatment and even assisted feeding, they need to let their legislators know.
Well, we'll keep on top of it. Thank you for your time today, Burke, very much.
Thank you for having me.
Burke Balch is the director of the National Right to Life Committee's Robert Powell Center for Medical Ethics. I'm Greg Karumbas of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.